So I'll say a little bit about Lady Nyingma yoga, maybe a little bit each day. I think most of the things most of you have heard, but if you're teaching it, it'd be good to review it maybe. So maybe we'll do Lady Nyingma's story some other day. But I thought to just talk about, oh, this Canadian thing came, a boot. I was hanging out with Canadians. A boot. You know, personally, I'm not athletic, and I don't, you know, I didn't exercise for a long time. And, you know, in the monastery, they don't emphasize exercise at all. Sometimes you play soccer, like you go hide, you go out in the cornfields and hide behind some trees, and everybody drops their ropes. And you run around in your underwear and play soccer, because you can't play soccer with robes on, and you get in trouble if the monastery finds out about it, and you know that's about it. But you know, later when I studied for after you do the Geshe thing, then they allow you to do yoga, and they start training you in yoga. So, you know, in the monastery, it's the opposite, right? You start with the theory or the philosophy and the meditation, and then later you're allowed to do physical yoga. And I didn't even know that people did it in my monastery. It was it's secret. It's considered tantra. So I used to tell my students not to do yoga. Do you know Tessie from Philippines, right? With children. She was really good at yoga, and I talked her out of doing yoga. But anyway, so anyway, later then my lamas told me that, you know, we should be doing yoga. And I was like, why? And I don't like exercise. And I felt like if the body's going to fall apart, that you're just wasting your time. You know what I mean? So, but then... But then in Lady Nyingma's yoga, there's a very beautiful justification for why you would want to do yoga especially, and her yoga. And most of you have heard that in the body there are 72,000 channels. The 72,000, by the way, comes from, if you ever wondered, heart chakra, as the child forms in the womb. The heart chakra spouts out four main channels horizontally, and then one channel branches off from each of those, which gives you eight, and then each of those splits into three, which is 24. Each of those splits into three, which is 72, and then each of those splits into 1,000. So then it's said that the body has 72,000 subtle channels running through the body, and they look like the veins and nerves of your body. They run in the same way. Then inside those channels runs prana. And prana is physical. It's not mental. It's a physical force, but it's similar to light. It's as ineffable as light, but it's still physical. And the basis of Nyingma's yoga, the interesting thing about Nyingma's yoga is that as prana passes through certain channels, it changes your emotions, right? So like the way you see, the clarity of your eyes, or how well you hear or taste, these are also prana moving through channels. So of the 72,000 channels, some of them extend to the taste buds, and some of them to the retina, and some to the eardrum, and then the passage of prana through those channels allows you, your senses to work. And that's why you're aware of the outside world. Prana is conveying information through the passage through those channels. Then the cool thing that Lady Nyingma standardized, or she based her yoga on, is that your emotions are also derived from the passage of prana through the channels. So if you're feeling upset, then prana is moving through certain negative channels. And if you want to eat too many chocolate chip cookies, more than you would need or enjoy, then that's also passing, that prana is also passing through certain channels. So she was, I think, unique among the yoga masters that I'm aware of. She was very careful to define which emotions are brought on by prana moving through which channels. And the second level of Niguma Yoga, which we haven't taught anybody yet, it talks a lot about that. So if you have a problem with anger, you would try to open up certain channels. And if you have a problem with desire, you would open up other channels. The interesting thing, the idea is that you try to open the channels, it seems contradictory, right? You try to open the channels through which certain emotions flow. So like the left side channel, Ida in Sanskrit, right? Kyangma in Tibetan. The left side channel, when prana moves through the left channel, then you get unreasonable desires. Then you want, what do you call it? Instead of eating a Pringle one by one, you know, you do that? Rather than taking them out one by one, you just start scarfing them. Then that's, that means prana is moving in the left-hand channel, the Ida. And then they say open it and make the prana flow more. And then that would seem contradictory to me, right? It would seem like if the prana is flowing more on the left side, then you'd have more desire. And that's not the way it is. Right now, the left-hand channel is damaged, and it has small rips and tears in it, and there are spots where it's flat and doesn't flow well. And the idea is, if you could open it, and if you could release it from the knots, then the prana would be free to leave it, okay? So it would flow, but in the sense of flowing out of the left channel into the central channel. So what does that... So then her yoga is designed to sort of return the channels, side channels, to health, to good health, so they become strong and complete and not torn or blocked. You return them to health, the prana flows through them and then flows out of them and stays out of them. And then those, in time, those side channels, they say that they, what do you call it? They withdraw into the central channel and you don't even have side channels anymore. So you can't have hatred or negative thoughts and you can't have desire if those channels have gone, alright? Then sometimes in Tibetan they call it Nyipang. Nyipang means the central channel. It's sometimes called Nyipang in Tibetan. Nyipang means threw off the other two side channels. Okay, Nyi means two, Pang means threw off. Then in Sanskrit they call avaduti, right? So avaduti is a very famous synonym for the central channel. And ava means, ava, the A changes to O in English, the V changes to F, double F. So it means off. And then duti means to flush or to throw off. So avaduti is a name of it's another name for the central channel. And the goal is to throw off the two side channels. What does that feel like in real life? You see? What would that feel like? That's what really we want, right? Like, okay, so some theoretical channel which I can't see or be aware of very well is in my body. And if I do this yoga, then it will return to some state of health, and so I can flush it out and then get rid of it, you know? So what in practical terms does that feel like? And see, that's interesting to me. The theory is okay, but, you know, so what's going to happen? You know, how's it going to feel? How do you feel when the side channels start to close or to disappear, right? And then you have to try to imagine a day when you nothing can upset you, okay? Nothing that happens during the day can upset you. All right, like you get into really bad traffic, or someone says something unkind to you, or you know, you lose something that means a lot to you, a person or a thing. And then if the right-hand channel were open, you just wouldn't get upset. You would just be, you wouldn't feel bad, okay? You would just be, all right, you wouldn't notice it really. You wouldn't think about it. And if the left-hand channel were open, then people bring you things, like they bring you a fancy car or a house, or they bring you donuts, or you know, things that you would want but that you don't need. And then you just wouldn't want them, you know, you just wouldn't feel any, they just, you know, a lot of times now people offer me stuff, I throw it out. I just throw it out. I'm in the airport in, I don't know, Malaysia. Then people offer me big bars of chocolate and all these Chinese, what do you call them? What's that stuff in the middle of the Chinese? Pineapple cakes and hot chocolate boxes. And then, you know, I'm all at the airport and I'm like, thank you, you know. And then on the way through customs, I just throw it all out. You know, like I honor it as a gift. And I touch it and I, you know, bless, 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 bless. And then I just throw it out because I don't need it. I don't want it, you know. There's no need for it. It's not, it doesn't do anything for you. It's not food. It's just something else, you know. It's desire. And so if you do your yoga regularly, and it doesn't really have to be Niguma. Niguma, I think, works better because it moves up the chakras in a certain way and it opens the channels in a certain logical way that she defined. I think a good yoga teacher comes to that automatically. I think a good yoga teacher, I'm thinking of Anna Forrest, or you gave me a CD, I really like it, Janet Stone DVD. I use it all the time. I used it yesterday, and I really like it. And I think a good yoga teacher comes to the same thing naturally, same kind of flow throughout the whole series. So if you do some kind of yoga, which is, you know, and or Niguma, then the side channels start to flow better. And then you will find changes in your life, you see? Things will just change in your life. And you won't want to eat things that aren't good for you. Like, it's really weird for me to throw away sweets or, you know? I grew up, we were four brothers and my single mother. And we didn't have enough money and we didn't have enough food. And on Friday she got her paycheck. Every other Friday she got paid. Then she would go buy what we really wanted. Just that Friday night. And then, you know, there'd be some cookies and then you had to stay up all Friday night and sneak into the kitchen and eat them. Cause Saturday morning they'd be gone. You know, like the other brothers would eat them, you know. So I have this thing, this programming in me. Like I see cookies and I have to eat as many as I can, quickly, you know. And, but if you do the yoga regularly, and it doesn't have to be Niguma, any yoga, then you will find those channels will open. What it feels like is that you just don't want that stuff, and you're just not attracted. It doesn't look like food to you anymore. It just is just something harmful, and or you just don't want it, you know. Or somebody says something to you, you know, that used to make you upset, and you're just like, it's like somebody farted in the room, and it kind of smells bad, and you're like. And Tibetans say, duri yangyar manum means, if you detect a fart, don't go into it. You know? So, you know, somebody says something bad and you're just like, okay, you know, and then you just move on. Like immediately, you just move on. So if you do your yoga in the morning and you do it regularly, then these, your life will change. Your personality will change. And it's nice. It's really sweet. Then the big question becomes, how do you get yourself to do your yoga? Right? And I face this every day. Okay? So I thought I would talk about that, and then we'll do the yoga, unfortunately. So I thought I would talk about that a little bit. I mean, I want to tell you ways that I personally, you know, if you grasp that it's going to help you, you know? If you grasp that it's going to make the day more pleasant, then it'll, you'll more want to do your yoga. Like yesterday, I was trying to get out of my yoga mentally. You know, I'm busy, I got to pack, I'm going to be late. I probably don't have time to do a full yoga. And then I was thinking, I really want the evening to go well, you know? Like, I really want to have a beautiful beginning to the retreat. I want the beginning of the retreat to go well. I want everyone to be happy, you know? I want to be peaceful and good-natured and you know, kind. And so I have to do my yoga, you know? It comes down to like that. You say, oh, I have to do my yoga. And it's just because I want the evening to go well. You know, and I want to have a nice evening. Then I did Janet Stone's, her Ganesha one is pretty bad. She like kills you. And I don't know, I never met her. He gave me her DVD, I really like it. I gotta meet her someday. She's in San Francisco? She's good. She's really good. So I said, well, let's just kick ass and do a really hard yoga and then the evening will go well, you see? So, that's one way to get yourself to do your yoga. The other way is to have DVDs, okay? So like, I can do my own yoga, and I can do like an hour, but I'm not gonna make myself do what she made me do. You know what I mean? So I pick up the DVD. I have a whole case of DVDs that I carry with me. Especially on tour, because touring is very, what do you call it? It drains you, you know. We're traveling tens of thousands of miles every month, and it's really a drain. And normally you get sick or something. So I take a case of DVDs with me. I have Jiva Mukti and Anusara. I got Mira. I got Anna Forrest. I got, all these other ones. So I have a big case of them, and I carry them around with me. And then you pick one out, and you say, I'm going to stick with it till the DVD is done, which is a big commitment, you know? So like, you take the DVD out, and you say, you make a mental thing. You say, I'm going to get to the end of the DVD. Whatever she tells me to do, I'm going to do. It's like a surrender. You know, you put the DVD in the laptop, and you make a little promise to Janet Stone, you know, like, okay, I'm going to stick with you to the end, you know, and you can abuse me in any way you want. And and for me, that really works well, you know. I can do my yoga every day if I take out this little piece of plastic and say, okay, I'll stay with you till the Shavasana part, you know. And so that, I'm just telling you as a traveler, world traveler, constant, to try to stay healthy, get some DVDs and just carry them around with you, okay? That's one trick, all right? So now you got two tricks. One is, I really want the afternoon to go well, or I really want the evening to be special. And if my chakras are open, if my channels are open, that's going to create a special evening. And we'll talk about that maybe tomorrow, right? So that's going to create a different reality in the evening. And then you just, in order to have a special evening, you do your yoga. Or you're going out with somebody, or you have to give a teaching or something, then you should do a hard yoga in the morning. And then it will go well. It will go special. Something special will happen. Okay, that's the first motivation. Then DVD helps. Okay, carry around DVDs with you. I have CDs also, right? Older ones. They're just audio, so that's okay. And I invested in a good laptop speaker. So they're yelling at me. You know, because otherwise it's this little teeny thing. It doesn't work. I got to have Sharon Gannon yelling in the side of my head. And that really works well. Okay? Then the third thing I would say, what I'm into nowadays, and my friends know, the people who live in near me, we go out socially for yoga now. So that's become a thing. You know, so instead of going to a movie or a dinner, or before the movie and the dinner, we'll say, you want to go out for yoga, you know? So we get like, I don't know, we find a class in Flagstaff, we get, or Sedona, and we get like, we call around and five or six people, we say, you want to go out tonight? And they say, yeah. And then we all go do yoga somewhere, You know, and think about it as a, what do you call it? A social thing. You know, like go out, think of it as a social thing, like to go out with your friends to yoga. You know, and then of course the class is not going to be good enough for Anatole, and it's going to be too hard for me. But we just compromise. We find like an intermediate class, and then the things I can't do, I just don't do. And then he shows off. And that's okay. So then you go out together with different levels of people, it's okay. And then the people who can't do it, you just relax, you know. It's just pride, right? It's just pride. Oh, I can't do this thing and everyone else in the room is doing it. So you got to get over that. That's a big thing. It's just pride. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. We went to a class the other day, me and Lama. The only time that fit us was called Yoga for Athletes. It was that Northern Arizona Yoga. Oh my God. They had all these football players and long distance Olympic athletes in the room, and we were there. And, you know, it was just kind of funny. And we just did what we could do, and we enjoyed it, and we didn't feel all inferior. And we just had a good time. And we did as much as we could do. And I think you have to get over that hurdle of your pride, that you can walk into any yoga class and you just do the best you can. And if you can't do something, you just sit down and relax and enjoy other people doing it. And you don't feel all competitive and jealous, you know. There's a really, really good cartoon on YouTube. It's called Hot Power Yoga, okay? I'm advising you to see it after the retreat. It's called Hot Power Yoga. It's a cartoon. And it has some bad language in it, but it's really funny. But anyway, it's a guy questioning a yoga teacher in an Australian accent. It's two cartoon characters. And the guy is like, do I have to be able to do a handstand to get enlightened? You know, and the other guy's like, well, for enlightenment, yes, you will need to do a handstand, you know. And then, what does he say? It's something really fun. Then they get into some bad language. But anyway, what was it? Oh, yes, he said, no, a type A personality person should understand when you start to do yoga, it doesn't matter whether you have read some articles in a men's health magazine or what was the other thing? I don't remember. There's a type A personality person who doesn't like to do yoga with other people because it takes 10 years to get good at it. And in the first 5 classes, they're not going to do what the other people do. And they feel angry or they feel competitive or jealous. And then you got to get over that, you know. And you just go to any class that fits your schedule and you just do it. So to go out socially for yoga, like on a date, or you just want to spend time with somebody, then go out and do yoga together. And it's so wonderful. And you feel really happy afterwards and you feel really refreshed. Or if you're tired, if you feel really tired, you feel like you want to take a nap, or you don't have any energy, then go to a yoga class. And it will open your channels and you'll feel good. Okay, so those are 4 reasons, right? One is if you want the day to go well, then do some yoga. If you have trouble getting yourself to do yoga, then invest in a bunch of DVDs, you know, and just carry them around with you and put them on and swear to the teacher that you'll stick with it till. Some of my friends, they go through half of the DVD and then they just leave the room, you know. So you can't do that. And then think of yoga as a social thing, you know, like rather than going out to eat with someone and going out to a movie, say, let's go do a yoga class together. And then that requires, since everyone's at a different level, that requires some kind of humility and, you know, thoughtfulness. And you say, they're better than you, so you go, okay, we'll go to the advanced yoga class and I'll do what I can do. And you just have a good time, okay? What was the last one? I don't remember. Huh? Say? Chant? No, anyway. Oh, if you feel tired. Okay, so, you know, our response in the West to feeling tired is we eat something, or we take a nap, or something like that, right? So I recommend that you try just to do some yoga, you know, like when you feel low energy in the afternoon or something and you're tired, and in a place where you might normally eat something, have a little mini binge in the afternoon, or go buy some kind of like a milkshake or something that's not really good for you, or you might take a nap, then consider just doing some yoga. And I think you'll find that it's very, you feel great after that. Okay? So those are tricks for getting yourself to do yoga. See it as a social thing, and start with your own friends, start to go out for dates. And I do that with people. I do it almost, I don't know, a couple times a week. We go out, just with friends I want to be with. I say, let's go do yoga together, and let's go to some class. And you have a really good time together. Okay? Something like that. So we'll start the yoga. All right, tomorrow maybe we'll get into how the prana affects the reality around you, which is how it works. We'll have some people demonstrating. Who is that? Rob, Andriana, Darcy, right? And then Ningbo, you're going to adjust, right? So Ningbo will be adjusting. He's really good at alignment. The Tokyoans, the people in Tokyo tried to steal him. He went back, but they love his alignment stuff. So he'll do the alignment stuff. Did anybody have any special injuries or anything we should know about? Just say neck or back or
lower back.
Raise your hand so they can see you. Okay, Ningbo, lower back,
shoulder. Knee.
Wait, slower. Knee.
Back.
Lower back.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody?
Shoulder.
Neck.
Right hip.
You got anybody else? Jig. Everything?
No, my
knee. Okay. If something hurts, just don't do it, okay? Like if you feel something hurt, just don't do it, okay? And then we'll talk about tomorrow, we'll do some, or even today, we'll do some alignment things that there are things that cause shoulder injuries and back injuries in yoga that you can learn not to do, okay? All right, let's start.